Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumatikoff. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Ridge, and this morning's show is taken from the book of Daniel. Daniel has a unique position in the Old Testament, and he is an individual who has a lot to share with us about our faith. And what I mean by that is that what we'll never find in the book of Daniel, a discussion of faith. One always finds in the book of Daniel the action of faith. And so Daniel was an individual who we might say today lived intentionally. Everything he did was to glorify God and his character. And so as a result of Daniel's commitment, we see that God was committed to Daniel. And God rewarded Daniel's commitment by exalting him, or we might say by promoting him. And so what we're going to learn in Daniel today is the reality of the fact that God promotes prepared persons. And Daniel was such an individual. And what I mean by prepared is that Daniel lived out his life in the study of the Word of God. He was completely committed to God. And it is interesting to note that in Daniel chapter 1, we get an idea, or we are told, moreover, about the time in which he was taken into captivity. So in Daniel chapter 1, we read verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned to them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. to Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age, or your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance to that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine, they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. This first chapter is pivotal to the book of Daniel. The first chapter lays the foundation of Daniel's background. It is from the first chapter that we learn that he was taken into captivity between 606 and 537 BC. Now, there are so-called scholar critics who want to date the book of Daniel 400 years later. And an individual from the 3rd century by the name of Porphyry wanted to give the book of Daniel a late date. In fact, he called it a forgery. And it was his criticism that led other so-called late critics in the 19th century to also mercilessly attack the book of Daniel. And if you note, the Pentateuch, that is the first 5 books of the Old Testament, were mercilessly attacked as well. And those things are all now, those attacks are all now historical due to painstaking conservative scholarship and the finding of the Dead Sea Scroll. And it is interesting that the book of Daniel was also found theoretically. That is, the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament called Septuagint, contains the book of Daniel. So the criticism has to do with the fact that there are persons who disbelieve or who will not accept the supernatural. And if one believes in the biblical documents and believes that God is present, God is there, and the existence of God, then one must believe in the supernatural. Why there are individuals who are predisposed to naturalism and the premise of naturalism with regard to this book is very interesting. And I used to spend a great deal of time reading this material. I no longer do so. I spend my time more profitably, and that is studying the Word of God. Daniel is important for Old Testament prophecy. It is a part of apocalyptic literature. The book of Revelation would be its counterpart in the New Testament. One needs to have a knowledge of the book of Daniel and also a knowledge of the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, of course, means the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Jesus. It is the final book in the canon of the New Testament. And as such, it too is apocalyptic literature. And so both Daniel and the Revelation speak about end times or eschatology, which is the doctrine of last things. It was in seminary, we never got to discuss these books. And later on I read how it is commonplace for seminary professors to skip eschatology and not to deal with Daniel, not to deal with the Revelation, very pivotal and foundational books for understanding. And living in a culture in which the clergy is experiencing the stripping away of its profound and by way of psychology and now by way of spirituality courses and spirituality training being given to medical personnel, it is very interesting to see the rise of generic spirituality. And the Bible does not teach generic spirituality. The Bible teaches a very specific spirituality, and it has to do with the individual who knows God through the person of the living Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the spiritual one is called the pneumatikos. And Paul talks in a very decisive and deliberate manner about the pneumatikos individual. We see a demonstration of the pneumatikos individual in the book of Daniel. It is important to see Daniel's determined and intentional living. Now, please note, he is in Babylon, and he is a captive brought in from Judah, and he is now, for he is made to serve the king of Babylon. Babylon itself is located in the area of Iraq, modern-day Iraq. It is 60 miles south of Baghdad on the banks of the Euphrates River. Babylon is found several times in Scripture with several meanings. And it has to not only, and the meanings with not only a particular city, but it points to a religious system that is abhorrent to God. And God will destroy it completely, and we read this in Revelation 17. There is reference to a political Babylon that pertains to the Gentile world system, which has existed since the days of Nimrod. That's Genesis 10:10, and it will continue until eradicated by Jesus Christ at the second coming. That's Revelation 19, verses 19 and 21. Babylon is given to us as Babel, B-A-B-E-L, from the root Baal. And it means to confound. The old ziggurat has been excavated at Erech, and that's in Genesis 11:2, or southern Babylon, and dates from the 4th millennium B.C. And the ziggurats we have found always have to do with worship. And so this spirit of Babylon, this world system, this world-centered, man-centered, myopic, political, religious system is ancient. And so whereas Sodom and Gomorrah represent absolute moral depravity and political degradation, and in Hebrew, Sodom and Gomorrah mean burning, the names mean burning and submersion. Burning and submersion. Babylon is synonymous with abject apostasy and unbelief. So it is a completely anti-God system. It is alien. It is contrary to God. It is in active rebellion against God. In Daniel chapter 6, we are given a very powerful we are given very powerful insight into the activity of Daniel's spiritual life and what his spiritual life was like. And so we read in chapter 6 of Daniel, beginning at verse 1, "It pleased Darius to promote 120 satraps or watchers to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss." That is financial loss being financially undermined. "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional quality that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Now keep in mind that Daniel is a and exile from Judah. And he has already had a distinguished career, and we remember the gifts were which he was endowed by God, and the profound insight with which he was endowed by God. And so this man has continued his spiritual integrity, his intentional living goes on and becomes deeper and richer. And we see that God is going, or it has promoted him. At this time, verse 4, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." And the word God there is spelled E-L-A-H-H, Elah. And so I want you to pay close attention to what is going on at this time. I want you to please carefully note the mental attitude sin, the mental attitude sin of jealousy. And this is jealousy toward the grace of God in Daniel's life. In verse 4, we read that they could find no corruption in him after a painstaking, intense investigation. They could find no corruption in him after a forensic review of his life. They could find no corruption in him. There was no hidden sin. There was no carefully concealed other life. There was no clandestine life. He did not belong to a secret society. He was a man who was whole. And his intentional living before God was evident to his enemies. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Now, it is very important that this that we note this word trustworthy. It is the hiphil, or the causative active in Hebrew. And in verse 4, it means he was caused to be firm. That is Daniel. He was caused to be firm in Yahweh by his word. Once again, the hiphil in Hebrew is a causative active. In verse 4, he was caused to be firm in Yahweh by his word. Now, the word firm here in the Hebrew is aman. A-M-A-N, from which we get our word, amen, A-M-E-N, or so be it. And so aman has been transliterated as trustworthy. And so this reality within the character of Daniel, the fact that he is a pneumatical individual, very specifically, we are given the foundation of his spirituality or his spiritual life. There's no generic spirituality spoken of in the Word of God. It is very intentional, and it is toward Yahweh. It is what, in biblical spirituality, it is this character transformation that is worked within the individual's heart through the power of the living God. The fact that Daniel is trustworthy causes incredible frustration for his enemies. And so we go on in verse 5, we are told, finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. I want you to note that at this time, Daniel was about 82 to 86 years old. He had been brought to Babylon. We read in chapter 1 as a young man. He has lived his life immersed in the will of God. He has determined that his life would be completely given over to God. And in Daniel, one sees that whether in prosperity or in adversity, he will serve. He resolved to serve the living God. Either, once again, in prosperity or adversity, he would serve the living God. This man is remarkable. And so in verse 6 we read, so the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. These individuals have conspired to manipulate the king into putting out or making a law or publishing a fiat law which the king could do against one individual, and that was to destroy Daniel. Is it fascinating? God, Yahweh, God promotes prepared individuals. And Daniel's intense spiritual commitment to the Word of God will give him spiritual buoyancy. And Daniel will not have animosity toward his enemies, and so he would avoid the trap of mental attitudes then toward them. It is important to understand that as believing ones, we must follow the Word of God, we must do the will of God, so that we can be blessed by God. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I'll speak with you next time on the Matter Calls. Have a wonderful day.